Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Romans in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 10. And I want to read some very familiar verses. If you've been in our church very long and taken the Soul Winners Club, you certainly know the verses that I'm going to use as a text this morning. Beginning in the 9th verse and reading down through verse 13. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that one. Romans chapter 10, and I'll begin reading in verse 9. Paul writes that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want you to go back to verse 9, and I want you to look carefully at the wording. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Believe in thine heart. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, to simplify it for you, what Paul is saying is, if you will, by faith, take the gospel and believe it. That's what he's saying. To believe in your heart just means to exercise faith in, to have faith in. You know, there are some things that you cannot see them with your literal eye. You cannot feel them. You cannot touch them. You cannot taste them. You cannot hear them, but yet you believe that they're there. All right? Gravity. Anybody ever seen gravity? No, but you know it's there. Centrifugal force. You know that centrifugal force is there. You know because when you were a kid, you came around a curve too fast on your bicycle and you didn't make it. And you paid the price, but you learned the lesson. There is this thing called centrifugal force. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. But you know that it's there. All right. Now, there are some other things in the spiritual realm that you just have to accept by faith that they are what the Bible says they are. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven, hell. I mean, there are just some things that God says they are there. You can't see them. You can't smell them. You can't taste them. You can't touch them. You can't hear them. But you can believe by faith that they are what God said they are. And I want to use that reasoning with you this morning. And I want to speak to you a message that I've entitled, Just Take It by Faith. Just take it by faith. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless as we look at these at this thought this morning and look at this verse of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our midst this morning and show us our need of just believing what God says. Father, give us understanding. I pray that you will bless and help me as I speak. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want you to use me this morning. So as I know how, I surrender myself to you. And just pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and bless the message. Touch every heart. Lord, thank you for our visitors who are here today. And I pray that you will bless them in a great way for being in church. And Lord, when we leave here in just a little bit, I pray that we will have heard from heaven. For Lord, we certainly need to hear from you. There are plenty of men that speak, but Lord, we need to hear God speak this morning. So I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And Lord, we'll thank you and give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, if you have been in church for, in this church for any length of time, you are familiar with these verses. You have heard them before. Our Soul Winners Club teaches these verses. These are the last in a set of verses that are all from the book of Romans that we use in order to kind of close the deal when we're leading someone to Christ. And I want you to notice in verse 9 that the Apostle Paul here says that we have to believe in Christ with our hearts. Now, what is that? Well, it's faith. It's faith. Plain and simple, believing in your heart is faith. It is putting faith in the Bible and what the Bible says about how to be saved. Have you ever noticed that there are many things in the Bible that we just absolutely must accept by faith? We just have to take them by faith. God set it up that way. God made it that way. Let me remind you that four times in the Scripture, once in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk, and then three times in the New Testament, we have this little statement that is repeated, and it says, "The just shall live by faith." Four times. That's one of the sub-themes of the Bible, is that the just must live by faith. God wants us to exercise faith in Him. The writer of Hebrews said it this way. He said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to be, we have to come to God through faith. There's no other way. One of the arguments in the book of Ephesians is the fact that we cannot work our way to God. We must come to God by faith. The work has already been done. Jesus has already accomplished the work. He's finished the work that was necessary in order for us to have salvation. But yet you find people all over the world today trying to do something in order to merit their salvation, in order to earn it. And that is just contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So the reason that we must exercise faith, and the reason that God designed it this way, is because the just shall live by faith. You see, there are a lot of things about God and about the Bible and about the Lord Jesus and about the Holy Spirit and about heaven and about hell that I cannot see with my eyes. I just do not have the ability to see those things. God put a veil over our five senses, which do not allow us to see what is going on in the spiritual realm. So I cannot see. I have never seen God with my literal eyes. I have never reached out and held God in my hands. I have never smelled the Holy Spirit. I have never tasted God. None of that. So I must accept these spiritual things by faith. You see, I believe in God. And I believe that God's Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And I believe that He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And I believe that He was resurrected on the third day. And I believe that He ascended back to the Father's right hand in heaven. And I believe that He is coming again. Now you say, well, Pastor, why do you believe all that? Because I have faith in what God has said in His Word. Now, it's just that plain and simple. You must exercise faith in God. It is the way God has made everything. Now, the whole matter revolves around faith. You say, but Pastor, I just don't have that kind of faith. Where do you get that kind of faith? Well, you get that kind of faith from reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there's been an awful lot of people through the years who the first time they ever walked in here and sat down and listened to me preach didn't like me very well, and they didn't like my message very well, and they didn't like this church very well. There were a lot of people like that. I'm thinking specifically of one fellow who came, and I offended him in every way, shape, and form that morning when I preached to him the gospel. He had been taught all his life that you work your way to heaven. Your good things are going to be put on a scale, and your bad things are going to be put on a scale. And you just better hope that your good outweighs your bad, and that's what gets you in. Well, he had been taught that all of his life. And the very Sunday that he came in the building was a Sunday that I pointed my finger, and he said, I pointed it right at him. I don't think I did, but he said I did. I wouldn't do that. But he said, I pointed my finger right at him and said that you can't get saved by weighing your bad works against your good works and hope that your good outweighs your bad. And I went on to tell him he must be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that offended him. And he said, I'm never going back. And so he left. And he didn't come back for a while, and then he came back again. And sure enough, the Sunday he came back, I pointed my finger at him again. I preached at him again, and he got mad, and he left, and he vowed he would never come back. And then a couple of weeks later, he came back, but he kept hearing the Word of God. And the more he heard the Word of God, the softer his heart became, until about four or five times of coming, getting offended, and then not coming, and then coming back and getting offended and then not coming. Eventually, he came forward and trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, it takes time. Sometimes in order for faith to be created, because the simple truth of the matter is most of us have been taught all of our life the opposite of what God says we're to exercise faith in. And so we've got to get the truth into our heart from the Word of God and then let that truth produce fruit. You say, but Pastor, I'm not going to believe in anything I can't see. I heard a story about that. I heard about a Christian that went to his doctor, and his doctor was asking him about things and his lifestyle, and he was telling the doctor about how he goes to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and the doctor looked at him and said, oh, so you're a Christian, huh? And the fellow said, yes, I'm a Christian. And the doctor said, well, I don't believe in God, and so the debate was on. And they went at it back and forth. And finally, the doctor, thinking that his superior ability to reason was going to outwit this believer, stuck his hand up and said, well, sir, let me ask you a couple of questions and I will show you what a fool you are for believing in God. And the man said, okay. And he said, question number one, he said, have you ever seen God? Well, the Christian said, well, no, I've never seen God. He said, let me ask you, have you ever heard audibly God speak to you? And the Christian said, well, no, I've never heard God's voice. He said, let me ask you, have you ever smelled God? The man said, well, no, I can't say that I've ever smelled God. He said, well, have you ever tasted God? He said, well, no, I've never tasted God. He said, well, let me ask you, have you ever felt God? He said, whoa, I got you there, Doc. He said, I have felt God all over my soul. I've got you on that one. And he said, well, and the doctor laughed, and he said, here's my point, sir. He said, I just asked you about God from the five senses that all of us possess. And you flunked four out of the five senses. So that shows you what a fool you are for believing in God. Well, the Christian looked over at his doctor and he said, well, all right. He said, if you want to play that game, let me ask you a couple of questions. He said, do you believe in pain? That doctor said, well, of course I believe in pain. He said, I've spent my whole life taking care of people that are in pain. And that Christian looked at that doctor and said, well, doc, let me ask you, you ever seen a pain? He said, well, no, I haven't. He said, I've seen people in pain. No, I didn't ask you that. Have you ever seen a pain? He said, well, no. He said, have you ever heard a pain? Well, I've heard people cry. No, no, no. Have you heard a pain? Well, no. He said, have you ever smelled a pain? No, I've never smelled. Have you ever tasted a pain? He said, no, I've never tasted one. He said, have you ever felt a pain? He said, oh, I got you there. I have felt a pain before. And that Christian looked at that doctor and he said, you know, I just asked you about pain from your five senses that all of us have, and you flunked 4 out of 5. That shows me what a fool you are to believe in pain. You see, folks, the truth is there are just some things that we cannot see and touch and taste and feel. There are just some things that all of us have to believe by faith. We cannot accept them any other way. Now, I want you to think of a couple of foundational truths that we must begin with if we're going to be rightly related to God. Look at the text verse again in verse 9. Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The first thing that I want to say to you is this. Folks, listen. We must begin with faith in the Word of God. If we're going to please God in any way, if we're going to be right with God, we must begin with faith in the Word of God. Folks, here's the bottom line. Listen very carefully. Either this Bible is the Word of God or it is not. It's that simple. I mean, this is either God's Word or it is not God's Word. And I believe personally that this is the reason why the devil has so violently attacked the Bible in the last 100 years. I think that the devil realizes that that this is the Word of God. He knows, and he has done all he can to discredit and to destroy and to weaken and to attack the Bible to get folks to doubt whether or not the Bible is really the Word of God. You see, if the foundation is destroyed, then the building on top of it cannot stand. And that's what the devil has been so busy trying to do, is to discredit the Word of God and to get men everywhere to doubt that it is indeed God's Word. We begin with faith in the claim of the Bible that it is the Word of God. You see, folks, the Bible has the answers to all the questions. I mean, to all the questions that men have been asking since man was created. The Bible has the answers. For example, the question, where did we come from? The Bible has the answer. The question, where are we going? Hey, the Bible has the answer. Question why do men die? Questions like where do we go when we die? I mean, the Bible has all the answers on this. You can't go home and get your Britannica encyclopedia out and look up the answers to these questions. They are not there. But you can read a Bible and you can find out the answers to these vital questions. All the answers to the questions of men are found in the Bible. Now, that's why the devil has done so much to destroy and discredit the Bible, because he has gotten our world today to reject the Bible. And as a result of that, today we live in a world where men are creating their own answers. since we've neglected the Bible, since we've discredited the Bible, since we have destroyed the foundation, men now have to come up with answers to these questions. Because, folks, the simple truth of the matter is, men still need to know the answer to these questions. And so what we've done is our world today has created our own answers. Take, for instance, the question of where did we all come from? Where did we come from? Well, you know, God answers that one for us right in the beginning of the book. God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, he says right at the beginning, we came from God. God made us. God spoke and the world came into existence. Now, God answers that. He created the earth and the moon and the stars and the universe and the seas and the deserts and the mountains and the plains. God made it all. And yet, our world today, which has denied God and denied the Bible, men today who have rejected God's truth and rejected creation by divine fiat have had to come up with their own answer to that question. And here's their answer. Evolution. Evolution. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anything this morning. Well, maybe a little. But let me ask you, have you ever thought that thing through? I mean, have you ever just sat down and thought that thing through? They say that 250 million years ago, that there was this explosion. They call it a Big Bang. And it just hurled debris out into nothing. And eventually, it began to take shape and form. And then the sun was shining down upon the earth, and the earth was just this big blob of ooze. It was just there, just oozing. And as the sun shined down upon it, it began to change as it was drying out. And this little one-celled thing crawled out on a rock, and the sun was shining down upon this little one-celled thing that crawled out on a rock to get out of the mud. And when it did, it got a sunburn. And then the sunburn peeled and it became a freckle. And then over billions of years, that freckle just one day went bloop and an eye popped out. What? That's a little hard for me to believe. Were any of you there to witness that? I wasn't there. I asked John Sicca in early service if he was there. He said no. I doubt that. He might have been. And point being, folks, if you're going to believe men's theory of evolution, you got to have faith to believe that. Nod your heads this way. Right? Now, pray tell me, which is more difficult for you? I know which one's more difficult for me. It's more difficult for me to believe that 240 million years ago, this Big Bang brought all that I see now with my eyes. Whole lot harder to believe that than for me to pick up the Bible and read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It is easier for me to believe that an eternal, sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God just spake and the world came into existence. Whole lot easier for me to believe that. You see, I've read the book. I've read it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. You know what the book says? The book says God made us. It's only natural then that men would say, oh no, that's not true. And men say, the Big Bang happened and then we all came into existence. You know what the book says? The book says the Big Bang happens at the end, not at the beginning. It's only natural that the one who is behind evolution, the author of evolution, the devil himself, would be counterproductive to what the Bible has to say. Whatever God says, you mark it down, the devil's going to take the other side of the story. And I submit to you, it takes faith to believe in both. I just happen to think it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe the Bible. We must begin, in other words, here's my point, we must begin with the Bible as the final authority. I wasn't there in the beginning. Oh, by the way, neither was Charles Darwin. But God was, and God, who cannot lie, tells me that He created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, how do I believe that, preacher? The answer is you must accept it by faith. You got saved by faith. You take that same faith and you place it into every other area where you have a question, and you trust what the Word of God says. You may not understand everything, but you can put faith in God. You know what? I don't understand electricity, but I sure do appreciate it when it's dark and I flip a switch. Wait a minute. And a light comes on. Amen. I like that. I don't understand an elevator. Anybody understand an elevator? But I like it when I get in there, push that button and it goes up and I get out. And then, you know, I like that. I don't understand gravity. But I like it that I don't just fly off into space. I like that. I don't understand it, but I appreciate it. I mean, there are a lot of things I don't understand how they work, but I enjoy them. I appreciate them. And I don't understand how a holy God could forgive my sin, but I appreciate it. I certainly do. I mean, I'm just going to take God at His word. God said He created everything. Good enough for me. If God said it, I believe it. Good enough for me. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I mean, that is your choice, but I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. If God said it, that's it. I heard about a preacher boy, young preacher boy, went off to a study for the ministry, and the college he went to was not exactly the kind of college that he should have gone to. And he had an Old Testament teacher who was a heretic, spent every waking minute denying the Bible in his class and twisting things around. And when they got to Exodus and started talking about the children of Israel crossing over the Red Sea, the professor stood before the class and he said, now, everybody knows this was not a big deal. This was the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea, is the Reed Sea. King James Bible's wrong on that. It's not the Red Sea. It's the Reed Sea. And that Reed Sea was only about 6 inches of water. So there's no miracle here. It was just 6 inches of water. Well, that little preacher boy was sitting in the back of the class, and he started shouting, amen, amen, just having himself a time in the back of the class. And the professor stopped and turned around, looked at him and said, what is your problem back there? And the young man said, well, I'm just sitting here rejoicing at how God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. Folks, we need to get back to believing what God says in His Word. Now, again, I hold it up and I say to you, it's either God's word or it's not. Now, if it is, then we better get back to believing what it says. And that's where faith must come in. If God says it, that's it. I mean, it's settled. I remember back in the 70s, one of the radio preachers was giving away bumper stickers if you sent in a donation to his ministry. Everybody had them on their cars, and it said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, that settles, I believe it, that settles it. And so I thought about that for a long time. You know, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen. I mean, if God said it, case closed. Case closed. And we need to get back to believing what God says in His Word. Our problem today is that we have put our faith in men, in human thinking, in human reasoning. And we have the audacity to sit around and question God and His Word. Who do we think we are? Let me tell you something, young people. Let me tell you something, college student. Listen very carefully. Listen to me. When you go to college or you go to high school or you go sit in a class somewhere and some teacher gets up and questions the Word of God, you just mark it down. The man that is teaching you is a fool. And it ought to be the other way around. You ought to be up there teaching him. David said, I have more understanding than all of my teachers. And the reason he could say that is because he said, for I fear thy word. I tell you, somebody that denies the word of God, you watch these preachers now, you watch them. Every time one of them starts on you, well, you know, a better translation would be, no. No. This is a poor translation. No. No, wrong. Stick with the book. Stick with the book. Don't question the Word of God. Have you ever, let me ask you this. Have you ever just had the thought cross your mind, what if God is right? Let that sink in. Would you just let that sink into you? I mean, you got all these opinions about God, and then you got what God says right here. Now, let me ask you a question. What if God is right? Whew. That's something to consider, isn't it? I mean, what if there is a real literal heaven? What if there is a real literal hell? Well, I believe there is. And the reason I believe there is because God has said so. What if at death, God is right and your eternal soul either goes to heaven because it's saved or hell because it's not saved? What if God is right? I don't know about you, but I'm going to take God at His word. Now, let me say a second thing here real quickly. Number two, I want you to understand that the Bible has shown itself true. I want you to think about that. Hold your place here and go over to Isaiah for just a minute, chapter 40. Hold your place here, but go over to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me show you something. The Bible has proven itself true. Isaiah was written 740 years before Christ. 740 years before Jesus was even born 2,000 years ago. So what I'm about to read to you is 2,740 years old. Has it hit you? Is that sunk into you? You got it? All right, now, I want you to look, please, at verse 21. Isaiah asks the question, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the what? Circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. In other words, God sitting above the earth. Sitting upon the circle of the earth. Do you realize that when Isaiah wrote this 2,700 years ago, that men thought as they looked out at the horizon that if they go out there, the earth was flat and they would eventually just fall off into an abyss. They were afraid to sail out beyond the horizon for fear of falling off the flat earth. But there were some men who came along later who got a Bible, read it, and believed it. And when they read the Bible and read Isaiah 40 and verse 22, they realized that the earth was not flat, but that it was a circle, that it was a globe, and they did not fear getting on boats and going out beyond the horizon for fear of falling off. So, folks, I'm telling you, the Bible has proven itself accurate and flawless. 740 years before Christ, Isaiah told the world that the earth was a globe. Now, for millennial, people thought they're going to fall off. All they had to do was read Isaiah, and they would know that the earth was round. My point is, the Bible has proven itself accurate and flawless. It is accurate in every single area. It is accurate in history. It is accurate in science. It is accurate in prophecy. It is accurate in every area. The Word of God has proven it is right on track every time. You know, think about this, folks. With all of the scrutiny that has been placed upon the Bible, would you not think that if the liberals and the media and academia could find one mistake, one wrong thing, one error, they would hold that one error up and shine the brightest light on it so the whole world could see, so that they could point at that one thing and say, see, the Bible is not the Word of God. And brethren, they have tried and tried and tried, but they cannot find one problem with it. Not one. Not one. And the reason is because the Bible is God's word and not man's word. The Bible is not all that God knows, but it's all God wants us to know. It tells us about Him. It tells us about His Son, the Lord Jesus. It tells us about heaven and how to get there. It tells us about hell and how to stay out of there. The Bible tells us why we are like we are. Where else are you going to find a book that tells the truth about us and who we are and why we are like we are? You going to find that in Britannica? No. You going to find that in World Book? No. Are you going to find that in Reader's Digest? No. No. The Bible reveals that we are sinners by nature. We were born that way. We inherited the sin nature from our parents. Now, modern psychology, men today who have denied the Bible and denied God, they take an approach to this subject that is completely different than the Bible's, which naturally they would. And their approach is that, wait a minute, sin is not your fault. Now, it's not your fault. Today, sin is just a disease. You know, a few years ago, the government came out with this new idea that alcoholism was a disease. Cancer is a disease. I'll go along with that. Tuberculosis is a disease. I'll go along with that. The flu is a disease. I'll go along with that. But alcoholism? How do you get that? You see, if you sit back and suck on the end of a liquor bottle until you become an alcoholic, I think that the blame can be put on you for being a drunkard, not a disease. I mean, you weren't sitting there in your chair and this alcoholism bacteria unwittingly came upon you. No, you went to the store and you bought the liquor and you came home and you sat down in your chair and you drank it. And then you went and bought more and then you drank it. And you went and bought more and then you drank it until you wanted to turn it loose, but you couldn't turn it loose because it had you. It had its hooks in you, and you couldn't quit it. There's a difference. I have Crohn's disease. That's a disease. It's a legitimate disease. I didn't go looking for it. It is genetic. Genetic. Just like I was born a sinner, I was born with a gene that would one day give me Crohn's disease. Oh, joy, oh, delight. There's a difference, folks. Now, the world can sit around and excuse sin all at once, but the simple truth of the matter is, we're all sinners. We are all sinners. The Bible tells us so. In this great book of Romans, which outlines the subject of salvation from beginning to end, our text is at the end of it. Much effort is put forth to prove that we are sinners. It is almost like God knew in 2011 that we would try to do everything under the sun to excuse our sin instead of taking responsibility for it. So God's salvation must be received by faith. Everything about God must be received by faith. You can either believe it or you can choose not to believe it. It's that simple. You say, well, Pastor, what if I don't believe? What's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says if you reject Christ, that one day you will die and you will go out into eternity lost, to spend eternity in a terrible place that burns with fire and brimstone called hell. That's what the Bible says. So I don't know if I believe that. That's your choice. I happen to believe it. The reason I believe it is because God said so. Not only that, but the Lord Jesus, when he was here, he said so. I'm going to believe it. Well, I don't know if I believe it. I would if I were you. They've tried to disprove it, and they can't. Believe me, they've tried. You say, well, I don't know how to believe it. By faith, that's the point. You believe in your heart. Believe it by faith. What does this Bible say? It says we're all sinners. In Romans, the book we're in, 3:10 and 3:23, we're all sinners. All. That means me, all these guys on the platform, Our brother interpreting for the deaf, all the folks behind the deaf, all the folks on the right of the deaf, and all the folks on the left of the deaf, and all the folks in the balcony above the deaf. We're all sinners. All of us. Born that way. It also tells us in 6:23 and 5:8, the wages of sin is death. It's death. I know men don't like to talk about that. Boy, men come up with all these other theories. I heard one the other day say hell is just like a potato bed where you dig up potatoes and then you take them and you make a bed in the barn and you put those potatoes and pack them down and it keeps them from freezing and keeps them, and you can go out and get them when you want them. And he said it's just like a potato bed. And I thought, yeah, and you keep preaching that, one of these days God's going to make a baked tater out of you. Folks, quit excusing what God has said in his word. Just believe the Bible. Just take it by faith. You say, oh, it's hard for me to do that. I know it is. I know it is. What does the Bible say? It says the wages of sin is death. It says if we believe in Christ, we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven, because he pays our penalty for us. He pays our debt. And Jesus died for us. He's God's gift of salvation. And if we will believe in Christ and call upon him, trust him as our Savior, he will save our soul. Now, again, folks, it's up to you what you do with this information. My job is just tell you what God says. I'm trying to do that this morning. And God says that now it's in your hands. But please understand this. Please understand this. God loves you. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. Oh, he loves you this morning. I mean, he just loves you with an ever-dying love. Salvation is something, however, that you must accept by faith. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. You see, God made us like him. Let me ask you this. How many of you men walk into the room while your wife's sitting there, you got a baseball bat in your hand, and you say, now, woman, you are going to love me. Now tell me you love me. Well, there's not a man alive wants to hear that. He doesn't want, I mean, you got to get a baseball bat to get her to tell you that she loves you? You don't want that. Could you imagine, guys, you walk in the kitchen, she's standing there with a baseball bat over her shoulder and says, "You got something you want to say to me?" What? Why are you carrying that bat? You either tell me you love me or I'm going to knock your block off. Well, what kind of love is that? You don't want that. No, you want her to choose to tell you. You want him to choose to tell you. That's when it means something. And God is not going to walk in with a baseball bat, look you square in the eye, and make you all nervous and break out in a sweat and say, "Now look, you're going to get saved, you understand?" He won't do that. He wants you to, but he wants you to choose to be saved. He wants you to choose to accept him by faith. That's the only way you can accept him, is by faith. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that." All right, think about this. Let's suppose you're here right now and you're not saved. In your mind, don't do it literally, but in your mind, I want you to look around this room. In your mind, look around this room. You know, the overwhelming majority of people in this room know Christ as their personal Savior. Let me ask you something. Do you think you're unsaved? Now, remember, you don't know if you can believe this. Now, wait a minute. Do you think these people, all the rest of us, are crazy? You say, "Well, no, I don't think you're crazy. I don't think you're crazy for believing in Christ. I don't think you're crazy. Do you think all these folks are nuts?" Of course you don't. So why won't you trust in the Lord for your salvation? He's good enough for us to trust in him. Why don't you trust in him? It's not complicated. You know what it boils down to, folks, is this. Look here, and I'm done. That tank of water back there can't save you.
Yes, sir.
This building can't save you. I can't save you. You know, if I could save you, I'd just stand up here and say, "You're all saved." And then we go get some pizza or something. No, I can't eat pizza, but we go get something to eat. I mean, I would just walk out here and stand on 140. Everybody comes down the road, I'd say, "You're saved. You're saved. You're saved. You're saved." I'd just save them all. But you can't get saved like that. It is an individual thing, and it is by faith. It's that simple. So I go to church, the open door. I'm saved. No, if that's what you're trusting to get you to heaven, sorry. Church, the open door is just brick and buildings. Mortar, concrete, few wooden pews, and some carpet. That's it. No saving power in that. You might as well go sit in your garage and tell everybody you're a car. Your neighbor walks by, you're sitting there going, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm a car." "What? I'm going to call the hospital on you. You're not a car, you're a nut. You need help." And it's the same principle with folks thinking because they tithe or because they've been baptized or because they're doing good or because they go to church or because they got sprinkled or because they got holy water fell on them or because they touched somebody's hem of their garment or they got a prayer rug or a prayer cloth or a prayer hat or a prayer apron or prayer underwear or whatever the case may be, that is what gets them in. No, sir, my friend, faith. It's all of faith. And there is no other way to get in. Now, is your faith in Christ? It better not be in me because I can't save you. And it better not be in the church because the church can't save you. And it better not be in that tank because that tank can't save you. It better not be in those offering plates because those offering plates can't save you. But Jesus can.